We have this program, would we be able to have it at all? And only 2 days ago, I think it was fixed. At least I became aware, yes, there is a meeting with the Krishna societies. And I must say, I'm very, very motivated to give my little talk today. I feel I have a few very important things which might motivate you, give you a new perspective, put some dynamite in your brain, in other words, increase your imagination. And I came to Krishna conscious, to this Krishna societies a few times. It started for me on Valentine's Day. I didn't know what Valentine's Day is, except that there is a comedian in Germany who's called Valentino. So, but it was something else I understood. Then I came a few times to other presentations. I remember very much a presentation in UCL about meditation, where really the participants could really experience another state of consciousness. I remember after the meditation, they were really silent, which is unusual for students in London. And they had contacted a deeper place. I also know some of you personally and have not seen you and felt the pangs of separation during this COVID time. It's my first time after 2 years back in England. And I just feel so much that these Krishna societies, Krishna Sok, I think you call it. I don't like to call it like this because it sounds like it sucks, but it's exactly the opposite. So therefore, being not an English speaker, I'm afraid that if I spell it wrongly, then it's very discouraging. I really feel that you have a unique chance. A wonderful chemistry of people is coming together, intelligent, dynamic, inspired. We could see from my predecessors, the two who spoke before me, their talk was breathing with life. You know, they were excited like they should be, and humorous and so on. So this is a good group of people are attracted with whom you can do revolutionary things. In my little talk, I will introduce it by singing with you a little bit more, but just a little bit only, not these 2.5 hour kirtans which I'm known for. And then I will give a little short talk and then make a thought experiment with you, where I will try to help you to go to a deeper place and find answers to 2 crucial and life-changing questions. Let's see what that is. Okay. Let me start. Those of you who know the words, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskachare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vashari Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare
A little louder if possible
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat, Prabhu Parat, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Chila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanandi, Hari 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 Bo. So. Yes, thank you. We will speak a little bit about the joy of sharing Krishna consciousness. This is possible when I feel the joy of a good microphone stand. Then it's, I think, I know how to make peace with these things. It's exactly like this. Good. My dear everyone, the Bhagavad Gita describes three types of joys or happiness which we human beings can feel. And I would like to start there so that we know what is joy, what is happiness. But let me first offer my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askatare Sadarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gobhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Sukham tvadinam trividam shinome varatar shabha abhyasad ramate yatra dukantam chanigachyati. O best of the Krishna society members, now please hear from me about the three kinds of happiness by which the conditioned souls enjoys and by which he sometimes comes to the end of all distress. So the first type, that which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So in the beginning it is difficult, but it turns into a very enjoyable experience. That is the good happiness. Then, that happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with their objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. So the second type is, it sounds woo in the beginning, but at the end is becoming quite poisonous or toxic. That is the second type. And the last is, and that happiness which is blind to self-realization, which is delusion from beginning to end, and which arises from sleep, laziness, and illusion, is said to be of the nature of ignorance. Let us start here. When I came to this temple, we drove through Soho, and already the people were getting into their alcohol consumption. And as they were drinking, you could see they looked merry, like merry, merry alcohol, you know. But then our driver said, "Ah, there is danger, because one drunken man was stumbling on the road, coming right into the reach of the crushing wheels of the car. And he almost drove over him and his." So this type of happiness, it appears to be happy, but it's illusory. I hear alcohol is very bad for your health. Or let us say the happiness of smoking cigarettes. I don't know if some of you know it. I think some of you must have smoked in the past. Yes, there is certainly some tingling in the senses, but it's very bad for you. It's very, they even write, this cigarette has already killed half of the population of the earth. And, well, they write something like this. I'm not 100% sure what. Then there's another happiness, that happiness which is derived from contact of the senses with the objects, and which appears like nectar at first, but poison at the end, is said to be of the nature of passion. We could give the example which is so often there in modern society. People look for happiness that comes when the private parts of the man touch the private parts of the woman, and as a result of this. There is some happiness, but can we help you? The one cable. Okay. Good. Imagine Romeo and Juliet, who were so much in after this happiness which comes when the senses are contacting their object. This is a very clinical description of sexual pleasures. Imagine you would meet Romeo and Juliet 20 years after the time when they fell in love with each other. By now, Juliet has, there are no safe contraceptive measures in old Rome, and Juliet is very, very unnerved because of the never dying sexual appetite of Romeo, and they have already 10 children, and Juliet has expanded due to the profuse so often she was pregnant, and she's really dissatisfied with this insensitive Romeo, who always comes to her and demanding that she serves his sensual appetite. Romeo also woke up one evening and to the intense snoring of Juliet. It sounded like a bear, so violent, this snoring sound. And he's so frustrated with Juliet. I mean, she looked so beautiful, but now bad breath is there. And I think I should not talk further because it becomes tasteless. But this is what happens when there is enjoyment in the beginning, and they are totally focused only on this sensual forms of enjoyment. And because this sensual enjoyment often neglects the fact that the other person is a person with desires and certain expectations in life, and the whole energy goes to just the senses, there is at the end quarrel. Have you heard these relationships which are based on sensual enjoyment are often ending in quarrel because people feel totally misunderstood? They are never valued as persons, but just as functions, and it is very impersonal, you could say, and often very exploitative. So that's an example, this type of sensual engagement, of happiness in the mode of passion. And then comes the good happiness here. That which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is just like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. I remember when I became a monk and learned the art of taking every morning a shower. This was not known to me before. We were not very rich at that time in our Hamburg temple, and we had to take cold showers. I know now cold showers are very much in vogue due to Wim Hof and other people. But at that time, for a young boy who was a little spoiled with money and position, or status, you would say, to take a cold shower in the morning, and that's every day. Ooh, that was really like, my dear young people, it was painful for me. The amount of discipline which it took for me to get up early in the morning spent already all my willpower. And then I had to take another time, another, what is it called, approach to the art of discipline by taking a cold shower. I shudder even to think now of it, because now I'm a little elderly and I have the luxury to first take a cold, hot shower, and then I take ice cold. But at that time there was only ice cold shower. It was at the beginning just like poison, but at the end, oh, it has turned to be the greatest gift, because it has awakened me to self-realization. I've learned to say no to the demands of the senses and the mind. I've learned to tolerate this, and I have learned to do what is good in the long term. Yes, so three types of happinesses are there. And I feel in sharing Krishna consciousness, there is really this last form of happiness active. What I want to say is, when you share Krishna consciousness, you meet sometimes uninterested people. Huh? Sometimes they are so unwilling to hear about their spiritual life because they have been totally overdosed with material information. And Krishna consciousness sounds so foreign to them. And even if you package it in the most sensational language, they are really bored when they hear about it. And you know, as someone who presents Krishna consciousness, we all like to be validated, but when we are rejected because of our beliefs and because of what we have to offer, it is sometimes suffering. No? I'm seeing one devotee who stayed some time in the ashram, and who knows, he may say to me, it was my most amazing time, but I know why he is no longer in the ashram. we are from a different culture. We like to go to the truth. So yes, it can sometimes be difficult to share Krishna consciousness and to organize events, and then you have it all laid out, and then they say, COVID kijay, we cannot have the event. No, and you really invested your heart blood into it, and now it's cancelled. My dear devotees, when you reach out to share something so wonderful and so deep as Krishna consciousness, you have to be aware that you might meet with rejection, and you might also come to your own limitations in the life. There's a fairy tale from Finland, which tries to explain the human nature which we all confront, our own humanity and human nature which we confront when we try to share Krishna consciousness. You know, once there was God took his bath in the morning, and he sneezed into a tissue paper. This was seen by a flying mouse. Finished a fairy tale. And the flying mouse took that paper down to earth where the devil had made a little clay man. The devil had tried to breathe life into the clay man, but the clay man would just remain a lump of clay. But when the mice came, the flying mice, it brought that handkerchief with God's breath, put it right into the face of the clay man. The clay man was awakened by the breath of God and turned into a human being who resided in the old London. This human being found two proclivities in himself. One, the proclivity which was given by its earthly creator. He wanted to find sense enjoyment and pleasures of the flesh. And the second inclination had been given by God, its other creator. He wanted to go for higher things. He wanted to go for God realization. So the devil said, "He's mine. I made his body." But God said, "He's mine. I gave him life." The handkerchief where my breath was in gave him the power. So they say, since that time, the human being is a divided creature. One side in him goes to the pleasures of the senses, that is the physical side, and the other side in the human being goes for the pleasure of the spirit, that's his divine side. And he's divided between these two. You are also a creature like this. There is a mayic part in you. Mayic means illusory part, where you like to go to Netflix and bringing the senses in contact with the object of the senses. It sounds so clinical, isn't it? It is so so nice expression. But there's the other side in you, which yearns towards spiritual fulfillment, that wants spiritual bliss so badly. And sometimes the two sides are fighting with each other. I think in most of our cases, they fight each evening when we have to decide how will I spend my unobserved evening where no one looks what I'm doing. When I'm relaxed, I have free time, and no one with a green shirt will see what I do. Well, do you know about this struggle which is there in the human heart? There's a divine part which wants spiritual things, and there's a other side, a comfort-loving side, which is a little selfish. So you need to know this when you approach the subject, the joy of sharing Krishna consciousness. In the beginning, to make a decision to give your energy and your intelligence to the Krishna conscious societies, can we say like this? It is difficult, and you get that phone call from this very inspired leader of the Krishna Sangha, Prabhu, can you do this? An event is coming up. Radhanath Maharaj is coming to town. We want to engage a mega event. Oh, please not today. There's something nice in the movies today. You want to say like this, but sorry, you of course never say like this, but you feel like this. And the two sides are struggling. But if you invest in the divine side in you, my dear devotees, you will find soon divine pleasures each single day. You will as Krishna says, become prasanatma, full of joy, full of happiness. That is there. How is the there? Well, do you know the difference between heaven and hell? That's another story I learned in my childhood. And once someone came to the gates of heaven, and Petrus opened the gates for him. But he said, I think we should first visit hell so that you really understand what is heaven. So the newcomer was brought to the hellish planets. The gates opened very easily, and it was meal time. And we saw the following arrangement. There were round tables distributed in the eating hall in hell, and the people sat down. There was one bowl of soup in the middle, but their hands had these long spoons. The spoons were somehow connected with the hands. I think they were tied very narrowly on their hands. It was clear the left hand was bound at the back, and with the right hand they had these huge spoons. So what they tried to do, they tried to eat by bringing the spoons in the pot and then somehow lifting the spoon up and aiming it in the open mouth. But because it was such a long distance, they never really were meeting the target. The soup splattered all over their faces and dress. They were hungry. The food was there, but somehow they couldn't bring the food to the mouth. That's hell, said Petrus. Now let us go to heaven. There was exactly the same sitting arrangement. Round tables, one preparation in the middle, and people on the table with long spoons tied to their right hand. But these people knew how to eat. They took the spoons, reached it into the bowl, and then instead of trying to somehow, I don't know how to say in English, bring it into their mouth, they fed the person opposite to them. And it was heaven for them, because the food tasted nice, but more important, they had these very loving relationships which developed as they were feeding each other. There is an investigation. You can eat every day the most unhealthy food. What is that? Pizza? Ice cream, and let's talk a little Gujarati here, dokla. You can eat it every day. If you eat in good company, you will be healthy. On the other side, you can eat the, what is it? Salad. What will you drink? You will drink bottles like this, smoothies, directly, freshly pressed from in the shop. If you don't have good association and loving relationships, you will develop cancer and all types of diseases, although your food is super healthy. Relationships, loving, bonding relationships, make for a heavenly atmosphere in your life, and selfish life where you only... Oh my God, someone has died, or what has happened? London sounds, isn't it? London sounds, this is a passionate town. It sounded serious, my God. So this happiness of selfless service to others, where you share the good things, is so much superior than what is called the selfish engagement. And to distribute knowledge is the greatest gift, the greatest benefit you can do. I wrote something down which Sutapa wrote here. He said, selflessness is practical. If every person in a community of 50 is thinking only about themselves, then each person has only one person looking after them. You follow? If, however, everyone is caring for others, each one has 49 people taking care of himself. You follow the simple mathematics, but if one hears it like this, I will say it to those who were a little absent-minded and lamented that they couldn't use their mobile telephones. So here it's again. If every person in a community of 50 is thinking only about themselves, then each person has only one person looking after them. If, however, everyone is caring on others, each one has 49 people taking care of themselves. Krishna consciousness really is based on this idea of selfless giving. And once you enter the community of selfless givers, you will be in a community where you are cared for and inspired. There is a Sanskrit verse which says, if I'm together with someone who is close to me, my medical needs, my food needs, and my emotional needs are automatically taken care of. No? So this community of selfless givers is first of all practiced. It's community, life is a practice in the circle of the staff members of Krishna society. But then it extends as a value to taking care of others. And this type of taking care of others by giving them knowledge and inspiring them in Krishna consciousness is so conducive that you will obtain your own self-realization in it. Do you know, if no one, I tell you something very confidential, let us say everyone is deadly bored when they listen to Satchidananda Swami. Let us just say this. There is one person who is still greatly benefited. His name is Satchidananda Swami. Because I'm saying things that are spiritually backed up by realization, by Srila Prabhupada's teachings and so on. And I'm listening. I'm hearing this. I'm feeding on spiritual sound vibration. So those who share Krishna consciousness, even if they are not so successful maybe in the beginning, are listening to the right sound vibration, which will give them the right thoughts in life. And if you have the right thoughts in your life, you will make the right decision in your life. When you make the right decision in your life, you act and feel in a sublime way, although you may still have parts in you that are resisting, that are so comfort-loving that the idea of selfless service is sometimes maybe a little bit scary. To break through that resistance in us, to nevertheless, and despite of our own comfort loving, give what is necessary at this time. The spiritual knowledge of Krishna consciousness is the quickest way for self-realization. So I wanted to just make a little thought experiment, and then I will open the forum for questions. I was talking today in a very unusual way, I think, of to you about the two sides of selflessness. Yes, there's great joy, but there is a part in us that is not appreciating to give up his own comfort. No, we are divided souls as long as we are in the material world. We have two parts. I'm with Pandava Senas, and then there is the MC is talking. Dear guys, everyone is tired and in their own mind, and they have not yet arrived at the event. Isn't this awesome? And they all are silent. I want to hear a loud Hari Bol. Oh, please not. And then after some time, he goes on for 5 more minutes. If you say a loud Hari Bol, you get something nice to eat. And everyone goes, Hari Bol! You know? And for a newcomer from the mainland Europe, you think, what are they doing here? How are they communicating? And you feel, I'm from a different culture. I grew up in a different way. I can't. If I'm not enthusiastic, I can't make a sound as if I'm enthusiastic. But it is acceptable apparently in London and in England. So yes, you begin to adopt. But I will never scream Hari Bol when I feel I'm so tired. Good. Because we are divided selves, my dear everyone, it's not always only Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. We sometimes are comfort lovers. We are sometimes bound by illusions. We are sometimes conditioned by the false type of happiness. So at that time, we need to come to grips with how we can be in small realistic steps, less selfish and more selfless. Good. The thought experiment. Are you ready? If I would be in Pandava Sena MC, I would say, give me a loud yes, but I don't do this. I don't do this. You have nothing to fear. I would like you all, it's not a meditation because it's late in the evening and we don't know what will happen when we meditate. I would like, it's really only a thought experiment. I would like you to think of a situation in life where service in the Krishna society is not easy for you. Maybe it is in arranging an event and you are tired. Maybe it is in facing rejection when you try to speak to a group of students and share with them your own enthusiasm. Try to think of a situation that you realistically encounter which is not so easy for you. Think a little bit harder. Yes, I found one for me, where I was experiencing little difficulty. Now I would like you to think how you could act in the same situation a little less selfish. And I would also like you to think, how could you act in that situation a little bit more selfless? I got something. This is something which is a very good thought experiment when you are in the front line of sharing Krishna consciousness. After all, this is an exercise in selflessness, because we want to come to the type of happiness which Krishna describes. In the beginning, it may be just like poison, but at the end, it's just like nectar, and it awakens one to self-realization. This is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness, or joy in the mode of goodness. I just come from sacred pilgrimage, and I shared this in the house where I was before coming here. I had a neighbor who lived with me at the holy spot. So one morning, when I came out of my house, I saw that neighbor was sitting on a little footstool before his hut. He was dressed in an unusual way. He had only a little gamsha cloth around his hip. His mouth was a little open like this, and he looked very, very happy. What irritated me was that there were people around him who poured water over him, and he was not at all reacting and was not disturbed. And what irritated me further was that there was a woman who cried and cried. So I came close to my neighbor, and what did I see? He was no longer there. He had just left his body. He had gone back home, back to Godhead, while he did spiritual practices. He was found before his hut, sitting on the stall, very happy, the body was, did not show the normal symptoms of, you know, of death, where everything sits, falls together, and the muscles, you know, the people fall over. No, he was there, like this. In my mind, I thought, he has reached perfection. He was to travel that very morning back to Bengal where he lived, but instead he was granted a journey much more blissful, much more fulfilling, the journey back home, back to Godhead. I want to say this at the end of my presentation because, you know, anything which we do in the material world, any step which you take, takes you one step further to the final end, final destination. But every step which you take in Krishna consciousness, even the hard steps, the difficult steps, take you one step further to the eternal kingdom of God. That's something to think about. then you do the Krishna conscious activities in that Krishna society. My dear people, do you realize every step which you do takes you to the eternal world, to the eternal happiness? Even, and I would say especially, listen to this, especially the steps which are hard. There is no faster way of making spiritual advancement than doing austerities for that. Conquering the lower self, the self which was put together by the mayic world, not the body. Akash, you are so tired, but you have to drive us. No? Are you just looking like this? Concentrated, good. So, you're so joyful always, everyone. It's so, such a pleasure to be with you, yes. Even the hard steps. I'm talking now, no, it's not a hype presentation where we say, well, everything is wow, so blissful, so wow. But we know what it is when we are asked to leave our comfort zone. Ooh, it's not always easy. But even these steps, and especially those steps where you conquer the lower self to get in contact with the higher self, work. So I would invite all of you enthusiastically to join the Society of Givers. Make the simple calculation. When you are in a community of 50, and I think we are much more in Krishna societies, and you are acting in order to care for others, you have 49 people taking care of you with spiritual inspirations and everything. This is what I wanted to say. I wanted to also close to remain fit in your process of giving Krishna consciousness. I request you to again revisit the concept of the tree of life. No, you have to take care of your roots so that you are spiritually nourished. You have to take care of your physical and emotional well-being, eat enough, take enough rest. Also, well, you're young people, but if you're getting a little older, I see a few elderly members of the Krishna societies leaning against the wall. That's all right, that's fine. This is one of the purposes of walls. It's a creative use of walls. You might like to do some exercises, not in eating dokla, but in things which give health to the body. And then the last dimension of the tree of life is to give to others, like a crown of a tree of life is meant to give the fruits. It's a genuine pleasure to be with you. Please do invite me again for this university programs. I will speak very socially acceptable. in this, I can also talk like that. I could also talk very poetically if it is required. But here I wanted to talk like brothers and sisters talk when they meet together. They will talk about what are obstacles and how to overcome them. And yes, my tip really, what I have noticed, to be joyful in giving, giving and yet again giving, you need to be emotionally and spiritually fit to do this. If you are absolutely depleted physically and emotionally, then it's very difficult to give. How can you give something which you don't have? No? If I want to give Krishna consciousness, I must be Krishna conscious myself first if I want to give joy and enthusiasm to others. It's not a matter of saying I'm joyful. It is really a matter of, you know, feeling the fire of joy rising in my heart and giving that certain spring in my step, which makes life appear to be one never-ending dance that brings me closer to Krishna. So for this, practicing a little physical, spiritual, physical, emotional well-being is necessary. I think you will agree with me. But now the last conclusion, the concluding thing I want to say, I'm so proud of you. Ooh. Just to know of your services and see this amazing, amazing report, no? Which is, there's only one word for it, awesome. I'm learning your language. really, very inspiring to see, and to see the these wonder, see, to look in your faces and see there is intelligence and life, and there is goodwill for spiritual advancement. And it's just very, very inspiring. So please continue, and please continue to use your brains. I mean, we all know our society is so quickly changing. I just heard that more and more artificial intelligence will play a very important role in people. Some thinkers say we human beings make so many mistakes, for instance, in dating. We find a partner and it's not mutually enriching the society, the relationship, but because we may be attached to just quick results, quick happiness, we may pursue relationships which are really discouraging, and so on. Now with artificial intelligence, you can have an app, and the app, say you go over the street and you see a person and you feel interested, oh, maybe I should enter a relationship. The app can measure certain physical reactions, maybe like blushing or increased circulation and so on. And then that app will make a connection with the app in the telephone of that other person and will find out by checking the data that this is compatible. And in this way, then if your app says ring, it's very compatible, then you can contact that person. And because from the very beginning, a tremendous amount of data is checked, there are not these embarrassing mistakes which most human beings make. So you can see, this is one example how technology will more and more grow into or sink into human relationships in all aspects of human culture. And therefore, it is important to note the culture will change. It's changing like anything already. And you have to stay in tune to see what people require, because I think we can all say there is happiness which the world cannot give and which the world cannot take. or let us say it in modern English, there's happiness which data cannot give, data cannot take, or what is it called? Algorithms cannot give, and algorithms cannot take. So what as revolutionary members of a revolutionary idea that is to bring spiritual realizations to people, you have to know the language of modern times and speak in the language of these modern times. Thank you all very much. I wish you all the best, and I'm very happy now if you do have some questions and we engage in a little what is it called? Interactive session. Haribo. But I see our very... You have something in mind? Please say.
I think we've got time for a couple questions. Yeah. Has any? Can you please raise your hand?
I was wondering if you could touch up on how to get that balance. How do we know that we are deepening our Krishna consciousness at the same time as sharing it? I know you said we should nourish our roots, but how do we make sure that we're doing that on a daily basis as well as sharing as much as possible?
Yeah. I can give you my own example. I'm sometimes giving 3 lectures a day, and what I have noted is that I need to almost fill up my glass first, and I know when it's full and I know when it's depleted. I was very busy in Germany before I came, and then very busy, of course, in England. England means very busy. and this morning, I knew I have to now take a little bit care. I'm becoming tired. My voice is becoming tired, and I can see that. Because of the tiredness and exhaustion, I'm withdrawing a little bit into myself, which is normal for a person who is tired. So let me now take care a little bit. This morning I slept up till 9 o'clock. That's a scandal for a Swami. We rise at 4:30 normally, and so on. I was still a little sleepy, so I didn't move so fast. Normally we take a shower in 10 minutes, everything, zip. I took a little long, and then I sat down and I chanted. And then I noted I need to enhance my chanting. I need to make it very connected with Krishna. So I read a little bit in a work where Krishna's pastimes and his thoughts and how he is described. And I can say I really felt really like a mobile telephone that gets charged up. And I've 89%, 90, 95, and so on. 100%. I could almost feel it by the satisfaction and the vitality and the clear vision, and also the desire to reach out to people. That came all back. Then I did a little yoga, you know, for the trunk of the tree of life, the physical body. Then I felt I could wrestle with 10 elephants. I felt so strong. You know, it's you all have mobile telephones, and you know from the indications when they charge up. So in the same way, when you practice consciously your spiritual activities, your physical and emotional well-being, you will feel how it charges up, you know. There is, as of yet, no digital number appearing on the skin of your hand, but soon it will be possible to have the to measure these and see this. It's sometimes very. We will see advances in technology that will make us cry or laugh, you know, dependent on what you what is your outlook. Yeah, so you have to see how is it that you charge up, and you need to know what's your good name.
Anushri.
You need to also know what exactly charges me up. You may not be a japa person. You may not be so much. But I have an assistant who found out when he worships Krishna in the morning, he is really charged up. Not by japa. He's not, at least that's not the report which we get. And then he does japa, very nice japa also, because he's charged up. You have to really do a little bit introspection and find out what charges me up. And you feel it. And the desire, when you are very charged up, you want to give it to others. It's normal. Hare Krishna, Chit Shakti, no? Nice to always see you. Hare Bol. Yes, please. Why are you laughing? The circumstance. Yeah, you are very joyful by nature. Wonderful. So, anyone else? Yes, I can't see who you are, but I saw your hand. Please tell your good name. Ah, Kishan, yes, I know. Kishan, please speak. Yeah, may I request you to speak a little louder? Old age is coming in the ears, so yes. So I understood with great effort up till here, yes, it's difficult to be.
So how can we exhibit selflessness in those situations, I guess more generally, knowing that an ideal of a bhakti practitioner is to be selfless and to serve all in the
world? Yeah, when we feel hurt and disappointed by someone, how can we not be so self-referential and just stay in our mind and be hurt and lamenting? Yes. Kishan, I have, you know, when one is practicing Krishna consciousness and being in the society for a longer time, one has seen these scenarios happening to others and to oneself. And I like to take a very realistic approach now after all these years. See, when you had a fallout with someone, somehow, this, depending how severe it is, but it gets into the body and the mind. It gets ingrained there. Like when you see, for instance, a person who hurt you in the past, you may try to be polite, but there is somehow almost a programming in the muscles that you, the face can't do it, you know, unless you went for acting lessons in the London School of Super Theatre and so on. It's, in other words, it sinks so deep that it is not just a mental thing that you can hide. We can sometimes hide our thoughts. It has influenced the physical reality so much
that our muscles stiffen and our breath quickens when we are close to this. So I really recommend at this moment that don't try to now make a loving relationship and do a meaningless embrace, you know. Just be polite and generous in the sense that you are not revengeful or that you're not allowing yourself to enter memory lane where it gets darker and darker and darker as you remember all the all the difficult situations. Just stay on the platform of a gentleman, but don't try the impossible to now be extremely selfless and giving it. It is sometimes, please help me, there's a good English word, a visceral reaction. It is, goes much deeper than just an idea or thought. It goes... let me answer it positively. How do you know someone is your friend? In Krishna consciousness, you can recognize a friend in that he has affectionate feelings towards you, and it is also manifested in not just words but actions. And a good friend is someone who can help you, who can sometimes say also, oh my dear Krishna, I'm observing, I'm seeing you, and I think it might be good if you consider this in your life. We are only willing to hear this from a friend. Anyone else who says this makes us insecure and oh my God, you know, like this. So find friends. Don't try to become friends with people who just don't feel like this to you, who have a visceral reaction when they see you and go, not again, Kishan, you know, like this, you know. We have to recognize the human reality, unfortunately, because it is so compelling and so deep. But a very polite and gentle demeanor is good, and if you want to say some hype sentence to him, it can also be, is also all right if it is necessary to do this. I'm joking. I don't think it's necessary, but I'm from Europe. I'm from a different time, so I'm refraining from an opinion here from driving a point here. But make friends. And do you know what, Kishan? If you have real friends, you become so secure inside, so sheltered, that it's very easy for you to also deal with people. Then it's possible to deal with difficult people. The word sharana or shelter carries three meanings. One is protection, like a roof over the head that protects you from rain. The second meaning of shelter is more like a base from where you can act. No? It's an understanding, a service, for instance, a sense of identity, or even a physical base where you say. And the third meaning of shelter is a sadhana, a spiritual practice, where you feel absolutely connected with Krishna. So when you have found shelter, you may be able to deal with these more difficult relationships. But my suggestion is, first go to these difficult persons in your life with a feeling to just be kind, to be polite, to be gentlemanly. But don't try to immediately go into friendships, because maybe they carry the same feelings of hurt towards you, and therefore they can't yet open up. And Krishna gave a very interesting tip. Krishna gives this tip: when your reputation has been destroyed, in other words, people think bad of you, the only way to repair it, listen to this, is not to go there and talk, I'm so good, in clever words, of course. You can say it indirectly, I did a lot of service here also. No, when there is such a fallout that you are seen as someone whose company is not desirable, one makes distance. For instance, if here any one of you would fall, I hope not, I cannot imagine how it's possible, but be misunderstood by the group, then it would be best if you make a little distance, and after some time this little misunderstanding is forgotten. So this is an advice of Krishna which I found in Gopal Champu, and it's very realistic. No, it doesn't try to do the... Krishna's thought like this: the elders had found out that he was meeting the gopis in the dead of night. You know, we all know it also in London. We have heard about the Parakiya Bhava and the Rasa dance. No, you have heard about this? These were unmarried girls. Krishna was not married to them. So the elders found out. Therefore Krishna decided, let me go to Mathura. Then everyone will forget. And now Krishna is glorified also everywhere in Vrindavan. It worked. he's glorified all over the universe, in fact. So it's an interesting advice, no? That is, I think, very realistic and so on. But of course, let us keep in mind, we as a group, you know, we are all doing the same things. We chant the same mantras. We eat basically the same type of preparations. All of us have taken to a diet where we eat vegetarian offered food. You know, we have many things in common. So when we are having difficult situations, let us remember the things we carry in common, and let us not try to, let us say, burden our fragile human natures by trying the impossible to be friend with everyone. Let us be supportive and polite with everyone. Good. I feel our time has reached a good conclusion. Is this true?